warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa atba'ihi bi ihsanin ila yaumiddin. Amma ba'd. We have been talking about the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his hajj, the khutbah that is known as khutbatul wada. And last Jum'ah I narrated the translation of the khutbah for you and I said that in this Jum'ah we will analyze this khutbah and see what lessons are there to be learnt from this khutbah. Just to link up with the last Jum'ah, I will once again just read through the khutbah so that we have the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the translation of his words in our minds. He said, after praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the approximate meaning, he said, "O people, do you know on which day of which month and in which land you are?" They replied, "On a sacred day, in a sacred month, in a sacred land." He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Your blood, your possessions and your honor are sacred for you, as is this your day, in this your month, in this your land, on until you meet him," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Listen to me and you will live. Do not do wrong, do not do wrong, do not do wrong. The property of a Muslim is not permitted for you except by his wish. All blood money and deeds done in the time of Jahiliyyah are crushed beneath these feet of mine until the day of judgment. The first blood to be forgiven is that of Ibn Rabi'ah, Ibn al-Harith, Ibn al-Abdul Muttalib, the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cousin. He was fostered among the Banu Sa'ad and Hudayl killed him. All the interest charges of the Jahiliyyah are abolished. Allah has decreed that the first interest charges to be abolished are those of Al-Abbas ibn al-Abdul Muttalib, who is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your capital is your own. No wrong shall be done to you, and you should not wrong anyone else." Then he said, "Time has revolved as was its fashion from the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. Do not revert after me to disbelief, striking the necks of one another. Shaitan has despaired of you worshipping him. However, he is present in the dissension or conflict amongst yourselves. O people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your women, but they also have rights over you. Remember that you have taken them as your wives only under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's trust and with his permission. If they abide by your right, then to them belongs the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. It is your right that they do not make friends with anyone of whom you do not approve, as well as never be unchaste or immoral." Then he said, "O people, listen to me in earnest. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without partners. Perform and establish your 5 daily salah. Fast during the month of Ramadan. Give your zakat and perform hajj if you can afford to." Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "All mankind is from Adam and Hawa alayhi musallam. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, nor does a non-Arab have any superiority over an Arab. A white has no superiority over a black, nor does a black have any superiority over a white, except by piety and good action. learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that the Muslims constitute one brotherhood. Nothing shall be legitimate to a Muslim which belongs to a fellow Muslim unless it was given freely and willingly. Do not therefore do injustice to yourselves. Then he said, remember, one day you will appear before Allah and answer for your deeds. So beware, do not stray from the path of righteousness after I am gone. O people, no prophet or messenger, no Nabi or Rasul will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well therefore, O people, and understand the words which I convey to you. I leave behind me two things. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I leave behind me two things, the Quran and my Sunnah. And if you follow these, you will never go astray. And then he said the final paragraph. He said, all those who listen to me shall pass on my words to those others, and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. May Allah make us among those. Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. And during this khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayat which was revealed on that day, when Allah said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam adina, which means in Surah Maida ayah number 3, where Allah said, this day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. Now this khutbah, we will analyze it in terms of what are the lessons that we learn from this, because the purpose of studying Islam is only one, and that purpose is amal, is to practice Islam. Islam is not to be studied as just accumulation of some facts, and accumulation of some data, or accumulation of some information. Islam is to be studied for one purpose only, and that purpose is to practice Islam, and that is why we will do this analysis. There are 7 lessons that we learn from this khutbah, and inshallah we will see how many of them we can analyze and complete today, and the rest we will do in the next Jummah inshallah. I will first list the 7 points so that we have them clear in our minds, and then we will look at each of them in detail. The 7 points are as follows. The first one is the order to learn the rituals of Hajj from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second one is the prohibition of shedding innocent blood, from shedding the blood of innocent people. The third one is the brotherhood of faith of Islam and the warning against fighting and killing among Muslims. The fourth one is nullifying the validity of customs and practices and actions of the Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic times. Number 5, the prohibition on dealing in interest, in riba. The 6th is the admonition of warning to fulfill the rights of women. And the last one is the advice to cling strongly to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are the 7 lessons that we get from the khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us look at each of them and try to understand what this means in detail. Number 1, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khudu anni manasikakum. He said, Khudu anni manasikakum. He said, learn from me the rituals of Hajj. He said, learn from me your manasik. Learn from me your rituals. Now think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Hajj is fard on anyone who has manistata'a ilayhi sabila, who has the means to undertake the journey. The Aimma of Islam are agreed, muttafaqun alayh, that if a person is capable of performing Hajj at any point in his life, if he had become capable of performing Hajj, and if he did not perform Hajj, and then he died in that situation, then he dies as a non-Muslim. He dies, he will be resurrected with Shaddad wa Haman wa Fir'aun wa Qarun. And this is from the Sahih Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only difference of opinion is that Imam Abu Hanifa and the others said that if a person becomes capable of performing Hajj in a particular year, he must perform Hajj in that year. Imam Shafi'i said he can perform Hajj before he dies. So if he becomes capable in this year, he need not perform Hajj in the same year, he can delay it. But if he dies without performing Hajj, and in his lifetime there was a year when he had enough money to perform Hajj and he did not perform Hajj, then he dies as a non-Muslim. So the issue of being capable of performing Hajj and deliberately delaying it and not performing it and the consequences of that, there is no ikhtilaf among the Aimma. The only difference is that Imam Shafi'i has given a little more room where he has said that immediately you need not do it, you can do it a little later. But think about this very clearly. How do we know that we are going to live until a little later? So for someone to give a rukhsa is one thing, but for us to think and to reflect on is the issue that how can I be assured that I have become capable of performing Hajj in this year, for example, and I say, no, I'll do it next year. Why? Because Imam Shafi'i has said. But did Imam Shafi'i said you will live till next year? Does Imam Shafi'i have this power to keep you alive till next year? So you are taking a very big risk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve all those of you who are capable of performing Hajj until next year, the season of Hajj, and go and make Hajj. Inshallah. This masjid is known as masjid of people who have the capability to perform Hajj. We get names. Paise walon ki masjid hai. Kai ko bolte kya hai? To paise wale hai to Hajj karo jaake. Mere ko to nahi bolo. If you are capable of performing Hajj and you do not perform Hajj, you are playing with your own akhirah. Please understand this very clearly. Number one. Number two point to understand from this first lesson of the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "Khudu anni manasikakum." He said, "Learn from me your manasik. Learn from me your the rituals of Hajj. How to perform Hajj." Now think about this. Especially those who are under this mistaken impression that only the Quran is sufficient. If only the Quran is sufficient, then what will you do with this hidayat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How will you perform Hajj? If you say that I do not need the hadith, I will ignore the hadith, I am not interested in the hadith, then number one, you are not interested in the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not in the Quran. Number two, how will you perform Hajj? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khudu anni manasikakum." He did not say, "Look in the Quran to how to perform." He said, "Learn from me." So if we say, "I don't want to learn from you," na'udhubillah, that is kufr, first of all, if you say that. But if you have this attitude to say, I will deny hadith, I will not take from hadith, then how are you going to perform Hajj? Because there is no way of knowing how to perform Hajj by reading the Quran. Just as there is no way of knowing how to make Salatul Jum'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the hukum. وَإِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ in kuntum ta'alamun. Allah said, when this adhan for Jum'ah is given, وَإِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ, what to do? Did Allah say, يَمْشِي إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ? Did Allah say, walk toward the dhikr of Allah? What did Allah say? فَاسْعَوْ. He said, run. Rush. Go urgently.
فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَاسْعَرُوا الْبَيْءِ. Leave your work, leave your trade, leave your business. Specific direct order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So now what did you do? You read the ayat of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, I hear the adhan of Juma. I am rushing towards the zikr of Allah. And then what do? You come here and do what? Where in the Quran does it say that Juma must have a khutbah? Where in the Quran does it say that Juma has two rakat and not four? Where in the Quran does it say that the adab of listening to the khutbah are such and such? Where does it say in the Quran that this khutbah of Juma is equivalent to the other two ayah, other two rakat of Salatul Dhuhr? So how are you going to do Juma? If you don't want to take the hadith of Nabawiyyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how are you going to perform Juma? How are you going to perform any of the salat? Where in the Quran does it say that there are two rakat of Fard Salah in Fajr? Where does it say that there are four rakat in Dhuhr and not two? Where does it say there are four in Asr? Where does it say there are three in Maghrib? Why three? Why not two? Where does it say there are four in Isha? Where does it say all this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu Salah. Establish Salah. How? How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to make Salah. And what did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, pray as you have seen me praying. Why? He said, take the rituals of Hajj from me. Meaning, perform Hajj as you see me performing Hajj. So, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me pray. Allah said, give zakat. How much? Did Allah say that in the Quran? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the hukum. Allah gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the knowledge to establish the principles of zakat. There is a certain amount of zakat on wealth in terms of cash and gold and silver. There is a certain different amount of zakat on crops. There is a certain different amount of zakat on goods in stock. So if somebody says, you know, this 2.5%, this looks too small, so I'm not going to, I don't accept 2.5% as zakat. I think we should give 20%. Now remember, if somebody says that Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me enough money that I can give 20% in zakat, I would love to give that. There's no problem. Alhamdulillah, all power to you. All power to you. But out of that 20%, how much is zakat? 2.5%. And the rest is sadaqah, for which inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you huge rewards. No problem with that. But that is not zakat, that is sadaqah. Extra. That's your khairat. Fi sabilillah. Why? Because you don't make the rules. I don't make the rules. Who makes the rules? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when I say and, it does not mean shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certain rules Allah specified directly, certain rules Allah specified through his Nabi. All the rules are made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that is where last Juma also I gave you the dalil from Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, he said, take whatever my Nabi gives you. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. He said, whatever my Nabi orders you to do, whatever my Nabi gives you meaning what? In terms of ahkam. Whatever my Nabi gives you, take it. And whatever my Nabi stops you from, stop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not differentiate. He did not say take whatever he gives you in terms of theology, If he tells you something which is not theology, which is business, which is commerce, then you can leave it. Allah did not say that. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا. Whatever your my Nabi gives you, take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever he stops you from, stop. And last Juma, one of the things I mentioned, which again I mentioned again and again and again, and I request the forgiveness of my elders if it offends them, but I fall at your feet and I ask you to forgive me, but I will not stop saying it. And that is because it is not my desire, it is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the issue of the beards for the men. It's a hukum of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Between last Jummah and this Jummah, I see some faces who never had a beard before, and in this Jummah they have a beard. So let me give those people who have started keeping a beard since last Jummah after listening to this some good news. And that good news is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person does an action only and purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that I was doing something which I did not realize was wrong, but the minute I realize it is wrong, I stop doing it. And I follow the hukum of Allah and the sunnah of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter what anybody thinks. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person does an action for that, this action becomes that person's wasila for his dua. So I say to those people who are keeping a beard because they fear Allah, I say to those people who have started keeping a beard even though they did not keep it all their lives, you started because you understood the importance of it, because you understood it's the hukum of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I say to you, remember that action of yours, and the day when you really need to bring down some hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you want to stand and raise your hands with the complete certainty that whatever you ask Allah will give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the wasil of this action. Say to Allah, oh Allah, I did this for you, now do this for me, and wallahi Allah is my witness, Allah will do it inshallah. This is the mustajab dawat. This is the dua which is never refused. And we have the Sahih hadith in proof of this, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there were three young men among the Bani Israel who were traveling somewhere, and it started raining, and they took refuge in a cave. And when they were in this cave, a huge rock, there was a landslide, and a huge rock slipped and covered the mouth of the cave. So these three young men were in this cave with a huge rock covering the opening, and they were absolutely certain that there is no way of getting out of this, and that they are going to die a very slow and painful and very horrible death inside this cave. So what did they do? They used the power of dua. And what dua did they make? They used the dua and they used incidents from their own lives. One of them said, oh Allah, and I may make a mistake in terms of the sequence, but inshallah I will narrate to you all the three incidents. One of them said, oh Allah, there was a man who came and worked for me, and I promised him a certain salary. He said, when the work finished and this man was ready to go, I brought the money, I said, here is your payment. The man said, no, you keep the money and I will come back and collect it after some time. So I kept his payment as an amanat. I invested that payment in sheep and cattle and so on. And this man did not come back for a long time. And this investment grew until there were hundreds of sheep and there were so many cattle. And he said, one day the man came and he said, give me my payment. So I said to the man, you look over there. He said, all those animals and all those men taking care of the animals are yours. So the man said, you are making fun, you are making a joke. I mean, how is that possible? I worked for so many days and this is the money that was due to me. So how can all these animals be mine? So he said, this man said, Ya Allah, you are witness. I told him, that those animals and everything are a result of the investment of your money, so they all belong to you, take them. And he said, Ya Allah, that man took everything, he did not leave behind anything. Then the man said, Ya Allah, if I did this only to please you. And he said, Ya Allah, if you are pleased with my action, remove this stone. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the stone shifted a little bit. It was still not enough for them to come out. So the second one, he made dua and he said, Oh Allah. He said, I used to go every day and graze my sheep and cattle, and I would come back in the evening and I would take out their milk. I would draw their milk and I would first give this milk to my mother and father before giving it to my wife and children. He said, one day I got delayed. When I came back, my parents had already gone to sleep. So I stood there by their bed with the bowl of milk in my hand till the morning, and I did not give the milk to my children even though they were crying. I did this only to please you, and O Allah, if you are pleased with this, please save us from the situation and move the rock. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the rock moved a little more. Still it was not sufficient. So the third one made dua and he said, O Allah, there was a cousin of mine, a sister of mine who I was infatuated with, who I was in love with, and I wanted to have sex with her, and I offered this many times and she said, fear Allah, and this is haram, I will not do it. He said, a time came when she fell into very difficult times, and she came to me and she asked me for some money. So I gave her 1,000 dinar and I told her, I am giving this to you on one condition, and that condition is that you sleep with me. He said she was helpless, she could not do anything. So she lay down, and as I was about to commit the act, she said, Ittaqullah. She said, fear Allah, what you are about to do is haram. So he said, Oh Allah, in fear of you, I left the 1,000 dinar and I did not touch her. And I left the place. And he said, Oh Allah, if you are pleased with this action, move the rock. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved the rock completely, and the three men, their lives were saved. This is a Sahih Hadith. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which tells us that one of the finest ways of making wasila is to do something only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that action. So I say to you, the people who are keeping their beards, after they understood the importance of beards, and the women who have taken to hijab after understanding the importance of hijab, that wallahi subhanallah, you are doing this only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hold on to that action, because that action will be something which will make your dua accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day you need something very badly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand up in salah and ask Allah in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask him and say, oh Allah, I kept a beard to keep to revive the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to act in keeping with your order. I started wearing the hijab because it is your order. Oh Allah, now please accept my dua and give me what I'm asking you to give, and wallahi subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give inshallah. The sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the essence, it is the life of this deen. If you remove the sunnah from this deen, Islam is dead. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a Nabi. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just send his kalam to say, read it and understand it and do whatever you think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have to send a Quran which is the size that it is today. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent the Quran which had complete and detailed instructions about every single thing, about how to make salah and zakat and hajj and everything, detailed instructions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not limited by some publisher, he was not limited by the number of words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent a detailed. Why did he not do that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to establish the position and importance of his Nabi as somebody who had been sent to show, to demonstrate how to follow this deen of Islam. And that is why Allah gave the hukum, and how to perform that hukum, how to follow that hukum, Allah gave the knowledge to the Nabi and said, you teach them. Allah said, Aqimu Salah, how to pray? You teach them. Allah said, give zakat, how much, for what, which? You tell them. Allah said, perform Hajj, how to do it? You tell them. Allah said, fast. From the time the black thread and the white thread can be differentiated, which black thread, which white thread? You tell them. It is impossible to perform, to live, to be in Islam if you deny the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Impossible. It's completely impossible. You cannot make salah. So please understand, this is a very important issue that we must get our minds completely clear about and be no mistake. And that is the point that I mentioned. The first order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his khutbah is khudu manasikakum, khudu anni manasikakum, where he said, take from me your rituals of Hajj. And the explanation of that is not only the rituals of Hajj, but the entire issue of the practice of Islam. Inshallah, أقول قولي هذا فاستغفر الله فاستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. Inshallah, we will continue with this in the next Juma. The idea is not to rush through the thing. The idea is to try to do it in a way where we get a complete understanding of the ahkam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for us in his khutbah, so that we can then follow them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a source of guidance for us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to follow his deen in such a way that when the time comes, that final moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ, when the breath sticks in the throat, when we see the angels, that will be a day of great mercy for us, and that will be a day of great rejoicing for us, because we will look forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we have tried to please all our lives. That day should not be a day of fear, that day should not be a day of apprehension and a day of predicament, where suddenly we realize that all our lives we followed our nafs. When the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were put before us, we denied them because our nafs, we followed and worshipped our nafs. We did not follow and worship the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not be in that position. Let us slaughter our nafs and follow the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if it does not please us, because that is one of the shurut of Islam, to do whether we like it or not. Jazakallahu khairan, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka allahumma wa natubu ilayk.